Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. Of course, powered by SB Nation, Dave Sturcio, alongside nationally known comedian Brett Ernst, and of course, his brother, America's fan, Keith Ernst. Fellas, we're 1 week into free agency. How are we feeling about the 2021 Dallas Cowboys?
Not good at all.
Okay.
I don't know if I can pronounce any of the names of the people we got in free agency.
Of course,
we lost Joe Thomas, man.
I know, dude.
We lost Joe Thomas. I mean, that was our guy.
If the Jersey Boys podcast was known for anything, it was the Joe Thomas fan club. We all loved this guy. We all loved him as our number one tight end of 2020 over Van Der Esch, over Jalen, over anybody that stepped on the field as a
tight end.
Did I say tight end? I'm sorry. Linebacker. It's been a long day.
Yeah, but, what are you talking about? And then you started rattling off the people he should have started over. Nah, man. He's one of those guys that we let go that, you know, I hope he kills it over there in Houston, right? He went to Texans.
Yep.
I hope he kills it over there.
I mean, he was a traveling guy in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, he was a McCarthy guy over in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So you would think that he would at least get a second shot at life again.
But here's the thing about Joe Thomas, I'll say, because obviously you guys know I love him because he was hitting, but maybe we thought he was so good because our other options were so bad.
Maybe.
Nah, the kid's right? A hustler. Look, even if you read the comments on him, everybody noticed the same thing we noticed. I was on the Dallas Cowboys site on Facebook, and there was one guy who said, good riddance, and then everybody was like, are you nuts?
They don't even, because they don't, yeah.
Hustle? I mean, we weren't imagining things, that's for sure.
No.
But you know, you need a guy like that on the team. You know, you ever see the movie The Dirty Dozen?
I don't believe I have.
The original with Jim Brown and Telly Savalas, and when the guy's putting mom. when he's putting the team together, say what?
He said your mom was in that one.
Oh, yeah, they named it after her. No, but when they were putting the team together, there were certain personality traits that the guy was like, we need a guy like this, we need a guy like that. You always need a guy like Joe Thomas on your squad that can hit, will bring the wood, will hustle, gets guys going by he just didn't get his shot. So whatever. It's done. He's gone. That's that, and there's nothing we could do about it.
Yeah, so we'll start on departures.
That was Goodfellas, by the way. You didn't even jump on that, but go ahead.
What? What are you talking about, Goodfellas? I love him.
He's gone. Remember when he's on the paper? What happened? He's gone. Yeah. What do you mean he's gone? He's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, so Joe Thomas, good riddance and best of luck because
best of luck.
I was just reiterating what those clowns on Facebook said, okay. But we'll start with the departures because good news, bad news. We'll start with the bad news of guys that left our team. Another one that kind of made headlines other than Joe Thomas being one of our guys is the most seasoned guy we had on the team. And it's our long snapper. I'm going to butcher the name because I do it all the time, but we just referred to him as LP. LP was our long snapper since the beginning of time. He's been there forever, and he was two games away from breaking the all-time Cowboys games played list that's currently held by Gold Jacket Jason Witten. Now, my knee-jerk reaction was, how do you mess this up? Like, it's the one position that's never been flawed on this team for the last 20 years, and except for one bogus snap infraction penalty that didn't exist. Yeah. Guys, your thoughts about losing LP and replacing him with another fossil guy?
I say that with LP that, I mean, I think it's cool. Like every now and then when you say, oh, wow, he still is on the team, you know, like every season you do that. But it's also where I like that Jason Witten is still going to have that record.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's, you know, it and just seems.
Do you think there was any? Do you think there was anything behind that with that record right then and there?
No, I don't.
Didn't he retire? Didn't JP retire?
LP did not retire.
I mean, LP didn't he retire?
He didn't announce his retirement. He was just not brought back. He's been playing on 1 year deals for like the last 6 years. Ran out, and he did not get resigned.
I think he's going to retire. I think
you would hope.
I think that, you know, when stuff like that happens, they go to the front office and say, "Listen, this is where I'm at. I'm letting you know. So I'm going to announce it when it's time to announce it." And because he was with us 16 seasons, right?
I mean, he's 40. He's 40 years old. So, like, you know, retirement is not out of the realm. However, I just feel like the timing of it is just awful. You know what I mean?
We can all say that he's not going to snap that streak, though, huh?
Oh, well played.
Now, really quick. Jason Witten deserves the title, deserves the record. The only other one, you know, Jason Witten beat Ed Too Tall Jones' record, but Ed Too Tall Jones' record is a little shady because he took a year off to box.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had a start during the strike season, I think it was, or he didn't have one during the so there were things that peppered in there, but consecutively, Ed Too Tall Jones, I think, had the record at like 203, which again is ridiculous that he's not in our Ring of Fame. Why? I mean, it's absurd that Ed Too Tall Jones is not in the Ring of Honor.
14 seasons on the team of pretty much, most of those seasons were dominating. He has what, 106 sacks?
So were you saying, Brett, only because I'm a little younger than you guys, did he play in the strike year? Like, was he one of the, like, the last of the Mohegans? No,
he took the year off. Okay. If I recall, Randy White did. Everybody sat out.
You're talking about the 88 one or the other 80?
I think 82. It was the 82 one, the 81 or 82 one.
Because the 88 one, yeah, I remember them crossing the line against the Redskins on a Monday night.
Yeah, and no, Randy White did.
The Redskins beat us with their scrubs, bro. It's one of the worst losses.
Sturridge was only 3 years old, so I definitely
you were, bro. No, I'm serious. We had Danny White, Tony Dorsey. Everyone came back, and the what's it called? The Redskins had like the bag boy for Walmart starting at quarterback.
But you know what? I think that was the basis for the replacements, right?
Yes, yes.
Was that game against the Cowboys?
Yeah, yeah, and they played as the Dallas team, which is actually kind of funny. Yeah, that makes sense.
But he had 200 starts, and the only time he didn't was when he was starting every game and then took a year off the box, came back, took over again, and then he didn't start for the strike year. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Jason Witten owns the record.
And it looks like that won't ever be touched. I mean, like, if LP couldn't do it, I don't think anybody JP. Will.
Yeah, but if yeah. LP
if JP or LP can't do it.
If LP did it, if LP broke it, it's kind of like, you know, come on, man. You're on the field 5 times a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he was flawless, man. Never made a mistake.
Who was before him? Remember, was it Dale Hallestray? No, who was our long snapper, Keith?
Are you sure it wasn't?
Who?
I don't know.
He was from Florida. He was from like Boca or something.
So right before LP, you mean?
Yeah.
This is on the 90s team. There he was our
I think it was Dale. I think that name sounds familiar.
All right, fine. But I'm saying, like, you know, LP started in 2000 or whatever.
We're not arguing with you.
No, I'm just curious.
Dale Hallestray was a better long snapper, Sturge. I was just wondering who it was before him. Relax.
I'm all high strung. It's free agency.
That's all right. You got Joe Thomas playing tight end, and I'm saying JP.
I haven't screwed
up. Okay, Mr. Perfect. All right. So LP gone. Joe Thomas gone. Another one that kind of made headlines because of the position of need, Chidobe Awuzie gone, signs with the Bengals.
That was hurt. That sucked. We needed him. I liked him.
Yeah,
did like Chido as well.
And that's other people saying good riddance that don't understand the position. And, you know, it's just, it's so frustrating.
It really is. I mean, like, that's the position of need more than anything else in the world. And look, we did address it. We'll get to it. But, you know, to watch Chidobe leave without even, you know, we get him in the second round. And I think I saw a stat the other day that our second round picks have just been god awful.
Well, I sent you it.
That you? Okay. I'm thinking like somebody sent me and I couldn't remember. So Chido walks. He goes to the Bengals again. Is he going to succeed there? Apparently, there's a quote floating around that he, you know, saw a better opportunity with the Bengals. I mean, honestly, if we go out and draft a corner like we should, you know, like, you know, Patrick Surtain or Caleb Farley, you know, if we are fairly, if we get one of those guys and then you have Trayvon Diggs, you almost see Cheeto as the third corner anyway. So maybe going over to Cincinnati, he gets more opportunities to be a one or a two, but I think he was going to be replaced. You know what I mean? So maybe that's
I think our secondary was one of the bright points of our season. Those guys got trial. You know, look, man, when you even go back, and again, I live in the past, but there's no other where else to live. When we were rebuilding that one year, I mean, we looked awful, but you could still smell the bright spots on those 90s teams. And you know, just because we were losing, our secondary, man, they really held their own. But we weren't even having a pass rush.
Yeah, but here's another thing. Once again, I'll say this. I've never seen a team, never have seen a Dallas Cowboy team this year where people were just wide open sometimes.
Yeah,
like nobody around. So I don't know if that was the scheme, once again, because I'm not in the locker room. I don't know if it was the intelligence of the players. Athleticism, I can't really give you an answer. But what I did see from Cheeto while he was there, when he started, I mean, I think him and Diggs led in interceptions this season.
Yeah.
I think Diggs' only interceptions came against
Pittsburgh? No.
No, it was Philly, right?
Oh, yeah. He murdered Philly by himself.
But no, but I meant as far as Cheeto goes.
They were young, man. I mean, that's what I loved about it. I loved that we had a shitty season where these guys can make the mistakes and they can play hard. I mean, you know, guys were really – and Diggs, to me, was one of the bright spots of the year.
Yeah,
he missed a couple games due to injury, but I think, you know, with a good offseason.
I think Cheeto and Diggs would have been our starters next year, for sure.
That makes sense. Well, staying on the losses, are you guys, as of right now, the Dallas Cowboys, obviously they get their deal done with Dak, and he's the guy. He's the starting quarterback. But now with Andy Dalton departing and not re-signing and taking his money that he was, I guess you could say he deserved it and earned it, to go to Chicago to be the starter over there for this season, which I don't know. I can't speak for them, and I have no idea what they're doing. But the Cowboys now go into their off-season programming with Dak Prescott, Gilbert Gottfried. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
I liked him, though.
I did, too. Garrett
liked him for one game.
Gilbert. And so he's not, of course,
backup.
And of course, the project.
Okay, listen, I'm only going by what we saw. Of course,
but it was one game. You keep doing that.
Oh, I didn't say he was.
I like that. I like him. We know. It was one game. I'm you. That's horrible. Kellen Moore. Let's not get into that.
Anyway, Garrett Gilbert and the project. The project known as Ben DiNucci. I'm not sure. Cooper Rush. I don't know what his terms were. I'm not sure. But. So are you guys okay with going into the season with Garrett Gilbert behind Dak Prescott?
No.
So what do you want to do? And Brett just keeps laughing. What do you want to do then?
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't pay Andy Dalton another $3 million. I mean, look, man, we got Dak, so now we gotta work with the cat, man. And this is
I think $3 million is
definitely gave Andy Dalton $3 million.
Let him go. It was garbage. The future is Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert Gottfried is the future.
So no, here's my thing. You guys remember, and I said it in text, I wanted Jacoby Brissett. I thought he'd be a great backup.
That's where I'm leaning towards him or where?
He signed somewhere. He did.
Jacoby's
sure? Gone, bro. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I think he went to the Dolphins, maybe.
Oh, all right. That could be a possibility because.
But my leading candidate for me. Is and I've always liked I like him and I liked him with the 49ers. He was undrafted. He started started games his rookie year, second year, and he started some last year. He did sign with the Dolphins, right?
Yeah,
I like Nick Mullins, man.
All right,
for a backup.
Okay,
because he's a guy who can come off the bench and win a game and maybe play well enough to win a game. In other games, as a starter.
I know
which he's done. I mean, I think he beat Seattle. When he was with the Niners one game.
You know who I want? And Dak referenced him in his press conference. I would love Alex Smith on a one-year deal.
Yeah,
I would love just because of his leadership and just I think that'd be a perfect guy in the locker room.
I think Gilbert
as a backup, of course.
Yeah.
Gilbert knows the system.
It's another vote for Gilbert. So the backup quarterback position hopefully gets addressed. If not, our stock is in Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, listen, but really quick though, all jokes aside, I do think us losing Andy, but I mean, what did he want? $3 million again? I mean, what did the,
he got 10 mil.
No, yeah, he got a chance to start. Listen, man, let's not count out the Bears with it. This is like, and I said this to one of your friends, I said this on the Chop Sports, page, that he might be the best quarterback that they've had since Jay Cutler, who is debatable. What I'm trying to say, Andy Dalton is an upgrade big time for that
we
team.
We saw him win some games last
year.
They've
never had a quarterback that could, like, they've always had the defense. They've never really had that quarterback. Who knows what he can do? And if that just, defense plays like they usually play.
And they just franchise tagged Allen Robinson, so he ain't going anywhere as far as, you know, he's got a target.
It's not a Bears. It's not a Bears podcast, but I'm just saying.
No, I totally agree. I get
think
it.
Andy Dalton well, I still not a think bad Gilbert, pickup for them.
Gilbert's our future, but go ahead. Let's move on.
Moving on. Something that brought some relief to a lot of Cowboys fans was a lot of people over the last season were very, very tired of punter Chris Jones as far as his skill set. So he's out. We did not re-sign him. He's gone. They're going to roll with right now. They're going to roll with Nisswander, the new kid that we brought up last year from our little, I guess you can say the practice squad or whatever. My knee-jerk reaction is that I would love nothing more, only because I've interviewed him on the Chop Sports podcast, and that is Marquette King, the former punter for the Las Vegas Raiders / Denver Broncos / Battlehawks of the XFL.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a guy bringing attention to himself for making a punt.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
See,
man.
That's not right. See, that's not right. Because, look, here's where
I... It's a bad point, though, bro.
It's not, but it's not a good one either, because look, field position in the NFL is everything. Oh, and Chris Jones was half the reason why we're
no.
Okay, let me ask you this. Long snapping is very important. Okay. So is holding the extra point. So let's just say somebody holds the extra point and he's perfect. He gets up and tries to make it, like, you know, I mean, they're all important positions and jobs. No, but hey, let me ask you really quick though. What are your feelings on Blake Bell?
Blake Bell leaving? He didn't really get a good shake. Yeah, considering the injury to Jarwin, you thought that there was going to be some more, you know, like some more action. But then the emergence of Dalton Schultz really, really picked it up. I think he was great. Blake Bell got in there, you know, occasionally. He didn't get a lot of reps, but it's almost like, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your contributions. We'll see you later. Because he wasn't the only tight end they cut. You know, the Cowboys, well, not cut, but just didn't resign. The Cowboys did not.
Cole Nikatuki, what's his name?
Hikatuni, yeah.
Hikatuni.
Hikatuni did not also get signed. So right now we're rolling with
Akuda Matata. They cut Cole Akuda Matata.
It means no worries, bro. I'm not worried about it. No, but they're rolling with Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz next year. Yeah. Slight chance that there's like some offensive warriors out there that want to add to the offense in the draft, and a Kyle Pitts falling to 10 from Florida, which is probably, you know, you guys, you know, I know you're like the U, but at least, you know, the Florida football line.
We better not draft a tight end.
If they draft a tight end at 10, I might just shut the draft off and say,
dude, I mean, come on.
That's not a need right now.
No kidding, but neither was a receiver last year, and it took CeeDee Lamb at 17, is what I'm saying. Cool.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
but never is a tight end. Well, I mean,
I'm Yacht Jerry, by the way.
I know, I'm Yacht Jerry too. But I'm gonna go back to Marquette King. Why isn't he playing right now?
You tell me, man. It's I won't get into it, but I feel like he's gotten a little bit of a Kaepernick situation going on. I won't touch any more on that, but like, okay. I think, you know, it's unfortunate. He was playing in the XFL. The XFL shut it down. He's still staying ready. You know, you check out all his Instagrams and stuff.
I'm just looking at, he hasn't played since 2018. He's 32, which is very young for.
And you know what? And his numbers last year in the XFL would have ranked third amongst punters in the NFL this year, as far as yards inside the 10, all the good stats that you would see.
You know what? Just for the record,
I'm not going to go on and on about a punter, but you know what I mean?
Like, no, but wait, just for the record, that's the one position that it doesn't matter what level you're playing at. Right. You kick that ball. That's how you kick the ball.
Right.
So XFL stats, even Division II punter stats, Division I, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Those stats don't change. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, you know, you look at it too. Like I know we don't want to get into it, but man, maybe there is. I mean, to be a punter like he was and lead the NFL and not.
I mean, there was a point
where things that we might not even know.
70 yard punts. Like, it was nothing.
Who knows how the locker room, we don't know, man. We just don't.
We don't. from what I gather from interviews,
players do.
Yeah, no, but from what I gather from interviewing the guy, he's awesome, humble, wants to get back in the league. We'll see. And I think, not for nothing, I think it's smart for the Dallas Cowboys to at least bring somebody in to compete with Nusswander.
I agree.
Nusswander, you know, because that's not right. You can't just be like, hey, Hunter, you're the guy. Go get him, kid. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I'm in agreement with you, man. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'd like to see.
They cut center Marcus Henry, which when I saw his name, I didn't know who the heck he was, to be honest with you. And I thought I knew the roster up and down. I don't know who Marcus Henry was. Most likely.
Did he get hurt?
I was just going to say, more than likely a practice squad guy.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
They also departed with two wide receivers, Chris Lacy being one of them, and Jonvay Johnson being the other one. The Jonvay Johnson project is over. So they gave it a shot, and he just, you know, couldn't stay healthy, couldn't get on the field. You know, in the NFL, there's only that certain amount of roster spots, so they're just not going to bring a Jonvay Johnson guy back. So we'll go to the returns before we go to the free agent splashes.
I'm splashes.
Oh, yeah, I'm splashes, by the way. Returning. So we just mentioned Jonvay Johnson and Chris Lacy as their departing receivers. We bring back two receivers in Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson. I think that's a great get for guys that, you know, you have to kind of see what they're doing now, because as we go through this season, you're going to got, you know, obviously you got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, mm-hmm. and CeeDee Lamb. But then after this year, Michael Gallup's contract is up and they're already paying Amari Cooper 20 mil and they got first round money coming to CeeDee Lamb. So the odds of Michael Gallup coming back, unless they do something to get out of the Cooper deal, which is possible after next year, by the way, they're going to have to see what they have in Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson. And now this is their time.
I say that. All right. No, the reason I'm very, very happy about Cedric Wilson is if we decide to go for a fake punt on 4th and 30, we have that receiver that can throw the 10-yard pass.
Could that be
Thank God for that, right?
Like, that's one of the worst calls in Cowboy history.
No, man. We saw Cedric.
Not one of it is
Cedric deep. Wilson actually played well, and Noah Brown always makes an appearance every now and then. I like keeping both of them. I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
Our receiving core is pretty strong right now.
It is. And that's before, that's pre-draft. So
Keith knows how much I like Noah Brown, but I'm still waiting for him to pan out. You know what I mean? I know he's a big blocker, but I'm really waiting for him to, I thought he would be that next Dez Bryant /
I did too. I had some
Michael
high hopes
Irvin
for him, yeah.
physical receiver that you just gonna, you know,
punch you in the mouth.
But then again, how many years is it now? 4 years he's in the league, Keith? Five?
I think like four, maybe three or four.
He's on his fourth year?
It's third or fourth.
So, listen, a lot of people forget Irv was drafted in 88 and really didn't come on until like 90, 91. Yeah. So, you know, I still love Noah Brown. I still got faith in him.
There's one more receiver, and I'd be remiss to forget about him, but Malik Turner, who they signed from Seattle last year and just really obviously didn't see the field much. But special teams guru, more or less. So Malik Turner is brought back as well.
I'm a guru.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's a guru around this time of year.
Can I just go back about when Brett just comparing Noah Brown to Michael Irving?
No. I didn't compare him. I said I was hoping he would be that type of receiver.
I'm going to think Gilbert to Brown's going to be the next Aikman.
First of all, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm looking at what we got to eat. Okay. I'm looking at what to cook with. Okay. So I'm saying I was hoping Noah Brown would just be a physical receiver that would come up and get the ball. Not so much quick, but more like, yo, I'm going to outmuscle you and get this ball like a Dez Bryant or a Michael Irvin. I didn't say he's the next Michael Irvin, but I'm going on record as saying Gilbert is the next Troy Aikman. And the next
one. He's a third round pick compared to two first round picks in Dez and Irvin. I mean, so
he was at Ohio State, correct?
Noah Brown? I believe so. Yeah.
Because then we're talking about the same receiver. Because you know how I get.
I got you.
For a year and then I forget.
All right.
Noah Brown went to Ohio State. If it's the same guy I'm thinking of.
Yes.
The seventh round pick. He was the seventh round pick.
Oh.
Dude, I'm telling you. When he was at Ohio State, the dude could ball, man. He was a physical dude.
Okay. I believe you.
All right.
He's the next Michael Irvin. But I love Brandon Whedon. I thought Brandon.
So, all right. So we're moving on to the defense because, you know, we're done talking about Noah, the playmaker Brown.
Wait, speaking of Whedon, just really quick.
What? So the defense.
Even the Whedons. Make sure you guys see the new cut of the Justice League. It's unbelievable.
4 hours of my life. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll try.
Yeah, you can. Have you ever binged a season of any show?
Yes,
I have. Okay, then you could do 4 hours.
I don't know.
Between you and my brother, I swear to God, everybody's a smartass here.
We're busy. I'm busy. I got things going on. Yeah. Anyway, defensive side of the ball. We talked about the departure.
Noah the playmaker Brown is brilliant.
Get that shirt made. So we talk about the departure of Cheeto, right? But we do address it, bringing back special teams sniper CJ Goodwin. Okay, I've always liked this kid. He's always on the field. He's reliable on the special teams. But the big move in the cornerback department is bringing back Jordan Lewis.
Jordan Lewis, absolutely. I was very happy.
Yeah. You had to bring back one of them. You know, whether it be Cheeto or Jordan, one of those guys had to come back. I like Lewis a little better.
If I had to choose, I would have went with Lewis too, but I still think that, you know, having three corners like that would have been, you know.
And they still could. They still could.
Like if I had to pick
one. Oh, Anthony Brown's still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I definitely would have picked Jordan Lewis over.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Who knows? Like I said, again. Year with how terrible defense was. So
yeah, no, you're right.
But I'm just glad we kept him though.
Yeah. Definitely. So after the tampering period was over and the free agency started, it was very quiet for the Cowboys. And then the news started to break, a couple trickle down effect moves. I guess I could start with the long snapping replacement for LP, and that's
Jake McQuaid.
Jake McQuaid out of LA.
Jake McQuaid is a detective out of the 70s.
McQuaid.
We signed him. Was that a hit? Jim Rockford. We went with Jake McQuaid.
Yep. Well,
vigilante on us, McQuaid.
We also staying on
what's
the
better, Keith. Is he really quick? Is he a detective from the 70s or McQuaid? He's probably a cowboy from like the 50s.
Well, you're thinking Long Wolf McQuaid, freaking Chuck Norris.
Ooh, well, I'd take that any day.
Yeah, yeah.
Chuck Norris.
McBane. I will snap the ball. I am Jake McQuaid.
So now he's like legitimately Ivan Drago? Like it's very
yeah, he's our action hero, man. That's gonna be the ongoing joke.
All right, you got it. Let's do it. So he's now
what's happened. It's 4th and 30. Okay. McCarthy's going, should we punt? We're on the 10, or should we go for it? And then they're like, well, we need somebody to snap the ball to what was his name?
Cedric Wilson.
To Cedric Wilson. Then he's like, get me McQuaid.
McQuaid. And then you just get that hero theme song.
Like that 70s music. McQuaid comes running out.
It's like freaking Starsky and Hutch. Oh, my God. All right. So, now, offensive line last year was a little bit of a woe, you know, with the injuries and stuff. Obviously, Tyron Smith was out. Zach Martin got hurt. Lyle Collins never saw the field. So we definitely needed to address this. And we do in the size of Ty Nishiki. Okay. The guy's a big dude. And I looked him up and like I did some research on him. He could very well be the swing tackle that we need because we did lose Cam Irving.
And what's also good is if he lines up next to Hikatuni, we'll have Hikatuni next to Nishiki.
Hey,
yeah, it's very true. And that's just statistics. What was it?
Neil got a bad rap, but he's, you know, he was just a rookie last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we still have him too coming off.
Absolutely.
We can stay healthy, man. We, you know, again, I think we should draft a couple offensive linemen.
Yeah, definitely want to get depth in there.
Go for defensive linemen again, even though we pick some up again. For some reason, the Cowboys always think that our answer to the defensive front is through free agent acquisitions.
Well, yeah, I'll go over them, which, by the way, got a great response out of Keith when I told him about the next signing, Carlos Watkins out of the Houston Texans. He made mention that the Texans were indeed 32nd in run defense, while the Dallas Cowboys were 31.
The first thing I said is that they were 32nd. They're like, oh, we got ourselves a great run stuffer. And I'm like, wait a second. They were 32nd. They were worse than us. I don't know about that.
He did register 2 sacks last year. So that's pretty good from the interior, not going to lie.
You know, really quick, get on defensive linemen, okay? Mm-hmm. And my best friend is the defensive line coach at Pitt. And he was just nominated for the best defensive coach because he had two and a half star recruits that he had started that are now five, you know, all.
So he built them from the ground up.
Right.
Nice.
You can really, really find great defensive tackles. And it's just a position that there's a certain mentality, a way to play the game where, you know, you can find them in smaller schools. If you know how to scout talent, like Leon Lett was from where? Emporia State, right, Keith?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And even Randy White. I mean, I think he was the Outland winner that year, but you know, he was at Maryland.
First round pick. Yeah.
These big Division I powerhouses that we're waiting to see, like Alabama. And, you know, I really do think that if you get a guy that really knows defense and really knows positions, you could steal those in second and third rounds.
Right. I agree. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree.
Like even Charles Haley was from James Madison.
And I want to bring up something real quick because couldn't get it in with the offensive line, but it has to do with the defensive line as well. When people, it's really bad when your players get injured, of course. But the one good thing about it is you get young people in there, like our offensive line, to get the reps and get the experience, and that's going to carry over to this year. And same for defensive players that we're filling in, you know. So we had so many injuries. But sometimes that could be a positive thing for the future, which we're going to see this season.
And you say that as we talk about Carlos Watkins, you know, before I should have mentioned this, obviously during a return, Antoine Woods is back. So he'll be coming back to clog the middle along with another defensive tackle in Brent Urban. So I looked into Urban stats. And again, a guy from the interior, 2.5 sacks on the inside. Again, depth. That's what they're looking, I guess, to add over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Getting back to my brother's point, the two main positions, well, there's three actually, if you count quarterback, but reps are really big for offensive linemen and cornerbacks. When that's the two positions that are, you got to just throw them in the fire and let them figure it out. But again, for offensive linemen, I agree with my brother on that too, because, you know, an offensive line is a unit. And again, that's what defense is totally different, right? I mean, it is a unit, but the offensive line, just think of it as like a ballet or a dance routine where it has to be choreographed. And the only way that you get a great offensive line is if they're playing with each other constantly. They know each other's moves. They know who's going to, you know, it is. It's a very complicated position for all five of them other than the center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those guards and tackles, it's so good to get reps, man.
Yeah, I agree. Staying on the defensive line, Terrell Basham is coming to the Dallas Cowboys on a nice deal as well. He had 3.5 sacks last year. Okay. So the depth is there, you know, right now. There are question marks in which I'm curious. Nothing out of the Aldon Smith party. We haven't really heard anything about that. Not sure if that's something to be alarmed about, you know, considering, you know, his past and whatever. You never know what could be happening with a guy like that. But I've heard nothing. And considering the season he had last year, you would think that you would like to rotate him in with Randy Gregory and then obviously D-Law on the other side. So nothing out of him. So is Terrell Basham, you know, the guy to rotate with with a Randy Gregory, because look, there's been nothing about no words about Crawford, nothing about that right now. They're obviously last year's draft left us kind of puzzled about who'd they draft seventh round. Why can't I think of his name right now? Anyway, him. And I don't know why it's skipping my mind right now. Oh, Bradley Anae. So sorry. So he was drafted. So there's players. Okay. They have players. So now it's just a matter of gelling and a matter of reps.
It's a matter of the scheme. Dude, it's a matter of
Oh, Gallimore, man.
Oh, and Neville Gallimore. Sorry. Dude, wow.
I mean, that guy, came in and was killing it, man. Mm-hmm.
It comes up to our scheme and our defensive coach. Yeah,
and I'll say
guys in the wrong place, in the right places,
a very good segue into saying that it comes down to the coach, because our biggest splash of free agency is because of Dan Quinn and the familiarity of a Keanu Neal, bringing him on for $5 million. It's a big deal. And I think that this is the first time the Dallas Cowboys have seriously considered, the safety position, you know, and I think Neal, he comes in and right now he's listed as a safety, but there's been rumors about scheme and where he could play and maybe take the Will side linebacker, you know, and you know,
that's the position I played in college.
Will side linebacker.
Well, I was run support.
Or weak side, sorry.
So what's good about this type of player, in my opinion, is the speed and the physicality. And when you're looking at these spread offenses and, you know, I remember when I was playing, it was so hard for one of the most difficult things it is for a linebacker in general to do is get under the curl, right? Or get to that out pattern and get underneath it. That's what made Junior Seau so phenomenal. He's the type of dude where he's just big enough, but he's also quick enough to where, you know, it might help us with that underneath coverage and those, you know, those, the way that the offenses are run now, I would love to see him, you know, underneath patterns a lot, taking dudes out as they come across the middle, old school. But
I saw when I was watching his highlights, I mean, at first me and Brett, we clowned you, Sturch, just so you know.
What is about what watching?
We saw your excited text about Ely. We're like, because Brett
get
was
all excited. You get all
he's like, oh, here goes little Sturch again. Like we were saying, like, you know,
little Sturch.
You guys saw so excited, but then I watched it and I was like, damn,
this right. guy, lay in the wood, my man.
He was.
No, he can lay it.
But I was gonna say that the one thing I did see pop up on one of the plays is at the bottom, Falcons 32nd. Ranked pass defense once again.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't really just blame the one safety.
I'm not.
About that,
I'm
you know
not.
What I mean?
But having the 32nd ranked pass defense is a little, you know, it's a little. But he might be playing linebacker. I mean, I'm just pointing that out.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah, bro. That has more to do with the corners. The corners in the front seven, like that strong safety position. I mean, when you look at like a Ronnie Lott or an Atwater or guys that can come up and play the run and also the, like I said, underneath. It may be a good addition to, you know, what we have. I just don't I don't know what Jalen Smith is showing up. I mean, are we going to keep the generic Hulk? Is he going to stay? No,
he's got a fifth-year option coming up next year.
That's my biggest concern with this team, man, is the linebackers.
Right.
That's my biggest concern.
To watch Joe Thomas walk out the door kind of sucked.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
so
just
– do we draft a linebacker? Then do we go for
I would take one. If the best linebacker is available at 10, like number one, absolutely.
That would be the kid out of Penn State right now. I think
I would take a linebacker or defensive tackle. I know everyone's saying DB, which I'm fine with, but I meant those would be my first two.
Okay.
But now
that's where our necessity is, and I don't think we could pick it up in free agency unless –
Well, look, we're only a week in, right? And I think, you know, this upcoming week is big for Dallas. There's a couple of visits scheduled already. Malik Hooker, the safety, will be coming in to visit. Thank you, Butthead. Malik Hooker coming in, and as well as Casey. So two safeties are coming in.
What linebackers are we looking at, though? Are we looking at linebackers? Like, who's available?
As of right now, I don't see them. I don't foresee them bringing any linebackers in.
Because I think that I agree with my brother. That's our to me. That's our biggest concern on defense.
Yeah, man. And that's a lot to do downfield, man.
Yeah, and that's a lot to do with the run and the pass. So they've been completely lost last year.
Now, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have argued we had one of the best linebacking corps.
Oh my God! Yeah, on paper, are you kidding me? Even with Sean Lee, you know, like you know him coming in, splashing here and there. Mm-hmm. Like they had a great linebacker. You had Joe Thomas, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, Sean Lee. You would be like, oh wow, this is good. You know,
and,
but now you don't know.
I like the rotation. I like having a rotation.
Right. The rotation.
Put the fresh legs in like we did under Jimmy Johnson.
So as we put a bow on week one of free agency, the Cowboys, between the returns and the new signings, they brought in 12 guys. Okay. Do you think, how do you grade week one? And we'll close it after this. How do you grade week one of the Dallas Cowboys free agency acquisitions? Keith, we'll start with you.
You know what? I like it. I like
letter, letter grade wise.
I give it a B.
Okay.
I give it a B. And the main reason why is I'm just happy we're getting new defensive players and new in there. I know they're just D linemen and whatever, but I don't care. We need something because the players that were playing last year that I saw starting, there was, you know, it just didn't do it. And I'm, you know, with these new players and scheme, once again, the scheme's going to be new. I think, you know, so I give it a B. They didn't make any, they didn't spend too much money.
Not yet. Nope.
You know what I mean? So, which I like. I mean, that's the Patriot way, even though the Patriots have won out and
Patriots just went on a shopping spree. Did you see though?
But did you see what they did though? How much they've only spent, which was weird.
What do you
They've
mean?
Gotten all these players, and I guess I was looking at the – it's not like – usually you sign 7 free agents, you're over $100 million
right.
or something. You know, they're like at 35 or something, like oh, something wow. crazy.
I'm with you, though. I give this a B right now. The Neal signing is very big.
Yeah.
I do like the depth on the defensive line. I think that's very big. You know, considering that the defense was the biggest Achilles heel last year, a la not having Dak Prescott in any offense either, but mm-hmm. not having a defense to stop – other offenses was like the, you know, the biggest bugaboo. We all saw it. So it's no surprise there. Brett, your thoughts on the first week?
I mean, I'm probably at the same, but I would go C+. I mean, okay. nothing crazy. I do like the Neal signing. I do like that we kept Jordan Lewis. Not happy we lost Awuzie, but what are you going to do? And definitely not happy we lost Joe Thomas. I think that's a bigger I think that's a huge loss for us, man. But
I'm still a little burnt on the LP loss, but that's just me.
But you know, again, I think he's going to retire.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I would say C+.
Okay. So you listen, that's I mean? 1 week's worth of free agency for the Dallas Cowboys. There's more work to be done. Visits.
Can I ask you though? Who is your eye on? Like, who would you really want that's still available right now?
If I had a guess right now, well, on top of wanting a backup quarterback, like a seasoned backup quarterback, like an Alex Smith. I really like that, but I do foresee them choosing one of the two, Malik Hooker or Kazee. And I think I want to say both of them are coming off injury. Like it's difficult to think about, but I like Malik Hooker, man. I like the guy's a first round pick. You know, he's got a lot of potential. He's still young. If they have Hooker along with Donovan Wilson and, you know, and whatchamacallit, Neal, like in a rotation, I believe in the secondary a little bit more than I did before that. So we'll see.
All right. But, so Keith, is anybody that you got your eye on besides your mom?
No, Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins, quarterback. Nick Mullins. So we're both on board.
A backup quarterback like that.
Yeah. I think for Dak's development still, he's got work to do. I think it's a.
Do you think Alex Smith would sign for a year? I mean,
yes, absolutely.
Here's my question, because you know we'll know on our next podcast. So, would you sign Alex Smith for what we gave Andy Dalton?
Last year, 3 mil. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
okay. For backup,
think he's worth it.
A valuable backup. Yeah,
because man, God forbid something happens with Dak again this year, and Alex Smith goes in. I'm not going to be as worried as I was with Andy Dalton, to be honest with you.
I think Gilbert.
I'm all of you, because you were not. You guys were so excited when Andy Dalton got in,
and I was, and forever will be.
If I go back to our text rocket. Messages when I warned you, you guys, guess what? Andy Dalton's from Texas too. Let's go.
The red rifle.
No, for real. I was very excited about the signing. You know, it was disappointing, man.
Yeah. So.
But again, I feel bad for McCarthy too. Like we got to give him, he's got to get a shot. It's like,
yeah, my father said that the other day. He's like, hopefully we get all these, you
know, like what Jesse Holly said. It's so hard to get a new system going. And you know,
last year was just a big old cluster F, you know what I mean? So this year, different OTAs, mini camps, all that good stuff. It's all coming back to the Dallas Cowboys. So for Dave Sturcio, Brett Ernst, Keith Ernst, this has been another episode of the Jersey Boys podcast. Next week, obviously, Week two of free agency, we'll address that. So thank you to Blogging the Boys Podcast Network and, of course, SB Nation. And we'll see you guys next week.